And welcome to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein with you today, and I've got a really full show and a great show today. I'm looking forward to it. In just a minute, we're going to talk to Dave Donaldson, who's retiring from APRN, and we'll talk to him just a little bit about that. We'll hear from, of course, Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac. We've got a great call-in we're going to do with Neil Burkelly and Wayne White, who is the director and the subject of the film Beauty is Embarrassing. They're going to be doing a live Skype call-in next Tuesday with the Goldtown Nickelodeon. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tom Paul's here to talk about barn dance season coming up. John Hudson with the Fish and Wildlife Service in a new monthly, or maybe even more, regular series, What's Bugging Juno? We're going to talk about bugs in Juno. Really excited about that one. And Art's Up with Nancy DeCherney as well. But first, Dave Donaldson with me in the studio.
Dave. Do I look okay? Am I dressed all right?
You're good.
I can put a tie on if you want me to. I'd be glad to go out and get a tie.
You're good for radio. I'll tell you that.
Thank you. You're fine for radio. I just wanted to make sure about it. So you want to talk about my retirement, huh?
Sure. I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I just turned my computer off, and so I figure I'm retired. It's been a while. But it's time now to get somebody who is much younger and really cares a little bit more about, they've got a future to look at is actually the reason for it. Is I don't have much of a future at my age.
Well, let's go back now. So, it's been about 20 years. Is that right? 21
it's
maybe?
It's been about a week longer than you have been
here. Yes, I know.
Because you came in right after I did.
That's right.
Within,
91.
Within six months. Within 6 months, yeah.
Yeah. Like and that. So since about 91 or 90, end of 90?
Because you had a broken car that you had wrecked on the way up here in Canada and had to stay in the Alaska Hotel.
What else do you want me to tell you?
I've been watching you forever. Andy.
Yeah, you could just stop now with those stories.
It's okay. They're coming out in my book.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about – I just think it would be fun to talk a little bit to you about the ups and downs of the stories you've covered. What's the weirdest story you can think of that you covered in your 20 years here in Juneau for APRN?
Besides your arrival, I don't know. I don't know.
Can you think of a weird one?
They're all kind of strange.
I mean, the big thing to talk about is when Sarah comes to town. How did that change your life as a reporter in Juneau for that period of time?
You know, I know that there are a lot of people who will start throwing things at me, but for the first 6 months of the Sarah Palin administration, this state was well governed. I think she was fantastic. And I really enjoyed it. It gave me a chance to say, hey, man, things are going to be okay for a while. And then I don't know what happened.
Well, the chaotic part of that wasn't her first. It was once her nomination for vice president.
No, it came before that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we noticed it when she started firing her staff that first summer.
Oh, it got
You were looking at like 8 months or so. We were all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute. There's something weird going on
here.
And, you know, we just sort of. And they kept getting worse and worse. And all of a sudden, the trooper stuff kept coming up. And there was this something that I pointed out to her staff one time is that Sarah Palin, when she would talk normally to somebody, the first time I interviewed her, absolutely incredible, good presentation, good sense, good voice, good voice quality. And all of a sudden, as she would get a little bit more nervous, a little bit more worked up about things, then all of a sudden her voice started going higher, and she would get to where she was sounding like she was trying not to yell at the microphone, but it was difficult for her, and it really was kind of awkward, and I just couldn't stand it. And that's the way it was, man. Huh. After about 6 months, 8 months, something like that, she started firing staff also. Yeah, it got weird.
Yeah.
It got real weird.
Do you think about that time, especially after her nomination and then when all the national press came here, does that sort of seem like a time warp to you? Or, you know, I mean, it was such a strange time to be someone like you who had been covering Alaska for many years, and then all of a sudden all this national press wants information that you've got.
Yeah, but it was just information, just the same subject all the time, and that was information that I didn't care about.
It wasn't that interesting to you, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the morning that she got the vice presidential nomination, I was over at the Racquet Club when it happened, and they were announcing it. And they actually came out and made the announcement, and it was time to, okay, I was leaving the Racquet Club real quickly by then.
Yeah.
And by the time I got home, I had, you know, I don't know, four or five different telephone messages on my office number and people wanting to know things. And I was supposed to go live on the air with NPR for Morning Edition, and as I'm waiting for them to call back, I CBS called, and I had to choose, okay, do I hang up on CBS or do I talk to NPR? And so I asked if Katie Couric was around, and we chatted for a while. I was probably on the phone with CBS for an hour.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, yeah, oops. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Well, tell me about what did you enjoy most about the 20 years working for APRN and working in Juneau and politics, covering the political spectrum here?
I just simply enjoyed watching it develop. I mean, to me, ever since I was, you know, like 12 years old, state legislatures were important. They, for some reason, I just got hooked on them.
Wow, you're weird.
I was a strange little kid. But what happened is, when I was, I just moved to Atlanta, as a matter of fact, and we were just moving into Atlanta, and there was a picture on the front page of the newspaper about with a legislator hanging over the rail from the balcony of the legislative House of Representatives, grabbing the clock and ripping it off the wall. I still have that picture, as a matter of fact, on my computer at home. And he's ripping it off the wall. And this was the, you know, Denmark Groover. Look, Wikipedia has a picture of it, the same picture that I saw at 12. And I thought, that's the place to be, man. These are strange, great people. And, you know, that's where I met Julian Bond, one of the truly great heroes of our time,
mm-hmm.
And various other things. And I just, you know, I just liked legislatures.
Yeah.
And I just think that's where it really mattered. And that's why I wanted to be here and got a chance and figured, why go anywhere else?
But as you say, you've turned off the computer. Uh-huh. That's it. You've drawn the line.
Yeah.
The retirement is nigh. It is upon us.
Yep.
Now, got plans? What's going on? You gonna travel? You gonna do other projects?
No, we're staying here. My wife is still working, and we're staying here. I mean, we like Juneau. It's a nice, you know, it's a strange town. I still think of the opening scenes from Popeye when I think of Juneau, but it's one of these things where, you know, we're gonna stay. I'm gonna do some volunteer work for KRNN radio.
Are you? I was going to say, I could get you a gig at KXLL, maybe.
No, but it's not on the air. I'm going to be doing volunteer work for their online stuff.
Oh, very cool.
And we're going to try to come fill in some voids that are appearing, and we're going to try to promote some of the local musicians,
nice.
Do some stuff with them. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to do that sort of stuff. And, I, you know, frankly, it's kind of a atonement for the last 20 years of my life of doing something, doing something number one for free, and also doing something that I think just surely does make a better community.
Right. Well, I think for everyone who listens to you, I think you have made this a better community, a better state, a more informed state. And thanks so much for all your years you've put into keeping us informed. Okay. Thank you for being a personal friend, Dave. I appreciate it.
And my pleasure.
I know you're not going anywhere, but just take this occasion to thank you for all the great years of friendship and all the years of hearing you morning, noon, and night informing us, letting us know what's happening in the state of Alaska.
Never again. I'm going to leave now, Andy.
Okay,
and,
you go ahead.
I'll hang around outside. If you have any more questions,
sure.
Just give me a call. I'll be just right outside the door waiting
well,
for you.
Well, you got a party waiting for you. I know this. I know what you're going for. The retirement party's right around the corner.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Okay.
Catch you later.
Okay, see ya. Here's Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 20th. Of September 2012. It was on this date, 1848, the American Association for the Advancement of Science was established in Philadelphia to procure for the labors of scientific men increased facilities and a wider usefulness. The term scientist had been coined in English just 15 years before, 1833. And all over the world, scientists were making great new discoveries. Europe was the center for the great theorists of science. In the year 1848, for example, Léon Foucault set up his first pendulum to demonstrate the Earth's rotation. Darwin was at work on his theory of evolution. Michael Faraday was at the height of his work on electromagnetism. America was cut off from Europe. It was hard to compete with scientists over there. And instead, the interest in this country was towards invention and science that would support industry. Just 4 years before the first telegraph line was installed, Baltimore to Washington, D.C., train tracks were being built all over the country, and in the year 1848, four times as many train tracks were laid as in 1847. In 1845, Elias Howe had invented the mechanical sewing machine. Cyrus McCormick had sold the patent for his McCormick Reaper in the 1830s. And not so many years before, Lewis and Clark had made their journey from St. Louis to the Pacific, a scientific expedition, observing the weather, the topography, the geography, describing 182 plant species, 120 animals in their travels. They sent back specimens, including a prairie dog that lived in the White House. By the 1840s, the botanists Asa Gray and George Engelman were cataloging the plants of the American West, and anthropology was starting to emerge as its own field, separate from natural history. There were only 87 members when the American Association for the Advancement of Science was formed on this day in 1848 in Philadelphia, but it grew to a membership of more than 2,000 by 1860. And in 1880, the association began publishing the journal Science, which today is one of the world's great scientific journals. Here's a poem for today by George Bilgear, entitled Hoses. I love the hoses of summer, hanging in their green coils from the sides of houses, or slithering through lawns on their way to the cool meditations of sprinklers. I think of my father, Scotch, in one hand, the dripping hose in the other, probing the dusk with water. The world around him falling apart, marriage crumbling, booze running the show. Still, he liked to walk out after dinner and water the lawn, fiddling with the nozzle, misting this, showering that. Sometimes in the hot twilight, my sisters and I would run in our swimsuits through the yard while he followed us with a cold beam of water. And once, when my mother came out to watch, he turned the hose on her, the two of them laughing in a way we'd never heard, a laughter that must have brought them back to the beginning. Hoses, a poem by George Bilgear, used here by permission of the poet on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vedder, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Big time, Peter Gabriel. For those of us that remember that great, great video, we've got someone on the line that has a fascinating film that's been done about him, and the director of that film as well. Also, Colette Costa is with me in the studio. Colette, mm-hmm. Thanks so much for joining me.
Of course, thank you.
The movie we're talking about is called Beauty is Embarrassing, and it is about Wayne White. And Wayne, you're on the phone with us right now, I think, right?
Yes, here
hey,
I am.
Wayne,
sweet.
Thanks so much for joining us. It's really such a pleasure to be talking to you. And then Neil, I'm sorry, Neil Burkelly, do I have that right?
Neil is not on the line right now.
Oh, Neil's not on the line. Okay, so Neil's the director of the film.
Neil Burkley.
Burkley,
yes.
Okay, sorry. Thanks for clearing that up. Well, Wayne, thanks so much for getting on the phone with us. We're really excited about this opportunity we have to have a live Skype in the theater
exciting.
At Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater that Colette runs and talk about this film. So for folks who aren't familiar with your work, maybe just a little bit of a briefing on how you might describe the work you've been doing.
Wow, briefly.
I know. You're so, that's the thing that's so fascinating, of course, about your work is that it's so diverse. But anyway.
Well, I like to start off by saying I've lived in three very different worlds. I'm from the mountains of Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee. I moved to New York City to start my career, and then I moved from there to Los Angeles. So that's three very different worlds. I moved to New York City to be a cartoonist and illustrator, and I was for 4 years. But then I shifted over to television because I'd also done puppet shows on the side. And my first big job in TV was Pee-wee's Playhouse. Maybe you've heard of that.
Oh, such a huge fan, yeah.
Yeah.
Cherry, so. And you're responsible for Cherry and for all these great
I did a
props,
lot of the
yeah.
puppets on the show, yeah.
Right.
In fact, I was also a performer on the show.
Yeah, I was Randy,
that's
the bad
right.
boy.
Now, tell me, just give me just very briefly, were you involved with Pee-wee when he was doing his Los Angeles-based live show as well, or did you get involved once he moved to the TV?
I got involved once he moved to CBS.
Okay.
He had just done Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Tim Burton's first feature
right.
film, and he was red hot, and CBS gave him a series called Pee-wee's Playhouse, and that's where I came on board.
And it was utterly brilliant and utterly changed the minds of every child who ever watched it.
It really did make a huge impact, and it's so great that it was reached all the way up there to Alaska, all over the world. You know, it was an amazing, amazing thing, and it started my new career as a working in children's television primarily as a set designer, puppet designer, and puppeteer, and then I also worked in music videos. I did Peter Gabriel's Big Time, which you did the intro there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also worked on the Smashing Pumpkins video Tonight.
Right.
Did several commercials. I did the Snapple commercials where the Snapple bottles are puppets. And I did a show called Beakman's World for CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Shining Time Station with Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr.
Oh, Shining Time
yeah.
Station.
So, and many others, too numerous and too bad to mention.
When you worked on these different shows, did people approach you because they knew you could kind of do their vision, or did they approach you because they knew they had the idea, especially from Pee-wee's Playhouse, that you had a certain type of a visual vision?
Well, I think primarily it was because of Pee-wee's Playhouse. It was such a huge hit, and it really did open all the doors for me, and they associated me with the wild and wackiness of that. And, I was lucky enough to have been my first job right out of the box, and that was great.
It is quite amazing to think that, I mean, that it's one of those things where there's such a risk for them to have gone with such a young designer, too, right? I mean,
it was.
Yeah.
That was the champion that Paul Rubens was for all of us. He didn't go the regular Hollywood route. He hired a bunch of unknown downtown New York sculptors and painters and underground cartoonists, which I was.
And actors, the Phil Hartmans and the, yeah, right.
True.
Yeah.
And it was, he really went for the creative aspect of it rather than the usual Hollywood hype. And that's what gave the show a lot of its powers, that it was a downtown New York art project. We were all hungry and crazy.
It was such a wonderfully subversive show in a way. And, I mean, based on the live show, which was an HBO special, which I absolutely loved and pirated 100 times and sold friends and, you know, don't be a Mr. Bungle and that whole deal, you know.
Yeah.
But so that to me, that was what was so genius about it, too, was that like all great things that connect with children, it had a higher level that connects with adults as well. So, like, that's why the Warner Brothers cartoons are so wonderful and that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
We did it as a parody of children's shows, but kids could love it too, you know.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So, okay. Well, that's how that happened, and then you can sort of see the natural progression to things like music videos, Big Time, based on this sort of vibrant visual style you have. But then you started getting into actual doing for lack of a better word, more serious artwork. I mean, artwork that might hang in a gallery, that kind of
yes.
thing.
Yes. I started out as an art major way back in Tennessee in the late 70s, and of course I drifted away from the painting. I started out as a painting major, but I got back into painting in the 90s because I was getting really kind of burnt out with Hollywood. And that led me into yet another act in my life as a fine art painter in the fine arts world, which I'm still doing today.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know me for these things I call word paintings. I buy cheap thrift store landscapes, and I inject giant phrases into them.
Amazing. And then now you also, though, have gone into a perform. There's a performance element where,
yeah,
now you are actually also performing as well.
I've always been a performer, as on TV, as a puppeteer, and
right,
occasionally on screen. And I've always loved the idea and had a knack for getting on a stage and communicating with a group of people. And this movie brought out yet another aspect of my career. It's like I do a hour-long stage show monologue about my life using slides and banjo and puppets. And that's sort of used as a narrative through in the movie, as a structure to kind of tell my story in the movie. And it's something I still do to this day. It's an hour-long show. And hopefully it's entertaining and funny. And I do it on, I'm for hire on that too.
Keep that in mind, yes.
Hi, Wayne. This is Colette, and I'm going to be talking to you next week on the video Skype. I manage the Gold Town Theater. And I love that first of all, tell Neil that film is just brilliantly done. It's so, it's instantly engaging. And it just pulls you through the whole thing, even though there's banjos in it. And but I have to say, outside of Tennessee, Juneau might be one of the biggest banjo appreciating cities in the world. So
people love the banjo here.
Feel free.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
It's a little gross.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it's lovely. It's lovely. In fact, I'm trying to find you a banjo player to be there for the videoscape, so you won't feel so alone.
Oh, that will make me feel good.
But
you know, in Tennessee, you're required to play banjo. It's like before you're 9 years old, you have to play banjo. It's a state law.
I'm not going to lie to you. So I've got this friend from Tennessee.
You don't want to play the banjo. You have to. You're required
you have to.
To
play the banjo.
So my friend Tennessee Brad, who's a misplaced Tennessean, lives here, and I was previewing the movie, and I was. Texting him, I'm like, hey, I want you to come down and you know, have some Tennessee support when we do this live video Skype and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not kidding. Out of the blue, Brad writes, does he play an instrument? And I was like, yeah, he's playing the banjo. Yeah, everyone in Tennessee is required to play an instrument.
Well, so that's great. Have you ever done anything like this where you've Skyped in with the music with a theater before, Wayne?
We have done some Skypes. Neil and I will both be on that one.
Sweet.
Great.
The time comes. Yeah, we've done everything. We've been on the road since March 10th, first
wow,
in the festival circuit and now in the theatrical release. And we have been promoting this movie all over North America and Canada. And I'm so happy it's in Alaska now. And yeah, we've been working hard to get the word out about the film. It's a real grassroots kind of project. We started from on a shoestring, and here we are nationwide.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that. To me, it's fascinating that you're someone who, as you were saying, had, you know, for someone who's a set designer, you had tremendous success in that area at a young age. And I could see someone who had that sort of success at a young age saying, great, I'm plugged in, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life, and just going down that road. But you haven't done that. You've just explored all kinds of areas of things. Is there something about you or your psyche or about the type of person you are that you think pushes you towards that, pushes you towards, you know, not saying, well, I'm well known as a set designer and I did Pee Wee's Playhouse, you know? And
yeah,
you know?
Well, I don't believe in resting on your laurels. I really don't. I don't think that's any fun, you know? I set out, my number one project as an artist is to entertain myself and to keep myself interested. And resting on your laurels is no fun at all. I always say that the artist's life should be a series of risk-taking. That's what we pay artists to do. That's what an artist's role is to take risk and continually try to discover new things. I think that's the role of the artist. And I don't mean to like get on a high horse about it. I just seem to come upon that attitude naturally. And I just love finding new things and discovering new things, if only to keep myself interested. I mean, I've always thought of art as a way of entertaining yourself primarily. And if you're entertaining yourself and you're doing it out of some kind of love and honesty, that's going to carry over to your audience.
Well, the work you've done has been inspiring to people beyond it, probably even what you have an idea about, you know?
My mind is being blown over this movie. I can't believe that my work has reached so many people. And that's one of the great gifts this movie has given me, is a chance to go out and see the impact of what I've done in the last 25 years, how it's spread all over the place and how it's affected people. It really is. It's humbling, really, to see that. It's bigger than me. It's like I'm just part of the continuum, you know?
Yeah, like that George Jones head, bigger than you. That thing
is
amazing.
Right. That's the world's largest George Jones head, too, by the way.
I mean, his head is big enough as it is, but to make a really huge one is incredible.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know you like big things up there in Alaska.
Oh, yeah. We're fans of big heads, big whatever. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
You're the biggest state in the union.
That's right,
biggest
yes.
capital of the U.S.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, so there you go. Well, it's Wayne White. Wayne, once again, thanks so much. Wayne's the subject of the film Beauty is Embarrassing. This is a film playing at the Goldtown Nickelodeon, and is it starting on Monday?
On Monday. So we've got Monday and Tuesday, and then we've got the live video Skype on Tuesday after the 7 p.m. And then there's some, I've got a couple Saturday afternoon matinees in there as well.
Great. I've only had the opportunity to see the trailer. Just the trailer is absolutely, as you said, sucks you right in, makes you want to know more about this person. And Wayne, thanks so much for your time, letting us know a little bit more about you.
Sure, thanks
appreciate
for having
it. Well, let's play a little dueling banjos right now. What do you say? Here it comes. Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks a lot, Wayne.
Sure, thank you very much.
Talk to you on Tuesday.
Before I let you go, Colette, you want to let people know a little bit more about what's happening at the Goldtown?
Yeah.
You've got this really cool thing that Ira Glass co-wrote, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. A little new movie, Sleepwalk With Me, and it's co-written and co-produced by Ira Glass and Mike Birbiglia, who's the star of it, and Mike's brother. So kind of a family piece there. And co-produced by the team of This American Life. It's a great little, it's almost a bio movie. It's very real to life. Like banjos.
Like banjos.
We are going to have because it's, Ira Glass of This American Life, we're going to have a KTOO member night, one night next week. I've got it for 2 weekends. And I think Cheryl's going to work out some details, but I think KTO members are going to get free popcorn and free soda one night. So we'll figure out what night that is.
There you go.
But it opens tonight at 7. And then we got this great, I just want to do a quick shout out. We got this great documentary on Bill W. It's called Bill W. It's a new documentary. It includes archival footage and interviews with people who knew him. And it's also got recreations of parts of his life, how he started AA. It's a wonderful documentary. It's showing Saturday at 4 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. And I'm doing reduced admission rates because it's a really great doc that I really hope people can come to see.
Great.
So thanks a lot for that,
Colette.
Andy.
Colette Costa of Noeltown Nickelodeon. Thanks
so
much.
Talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Dancing to the music. That's what it's all about, Tom, right?
That's right.
The barn dance is coming up. Tom Paul's with me in the studio right now. And what's happening with the barn dances?
Well, it's the 23rd year of barn dances in Juneau. And we're going to start the season this Saturday, the 22nd, with at St. Anne's Parish Hall.
Okay.
Catholic Church up on 5th.
It's funny you say Street. 23 years. I mean, there are grown people in this town who've been going to barn dances.
That's right.
Since they were 1 year old and babies and,
running
in between the feet, and now they're barn dancing and dancing with the rest,
that's right,
and teaching it and passing it on. I guess that's a big part of it.
Well, yeah. And, it's a real social kind of dance. Everybody ends up dancing with everybody else in the hall during the night. So it's kind of addictive. You get a group of friends that in contra dancing you may not have anywhere else in your life, and it's a contra dance world. So it's pretty fun, and we typically start the year, for the last 7 or 8 years, we've started it out with, and we always have live music, and Jerry Fiscus and friends is our kickoff band traditionally every year. And Jerry is probably, as you know, is one of the treasures of Juno music. He's an old time fiddler. He plays kind of country swing and bluegrass and old time stuff, and it's really great to hear his tunes, which no other fiddlers in town play that I know of, and maybe not many in the state.
Now the barn dance. Now that's with the calling and that's that whole thing. Let's play a little of that right now. We got a track here that's an example. This is a track.
Balance and swing below.
So the caller tells you what to do. You don't have to worry about what your steps are.
Right. And you might not get the bounce on the beat the first time, but you catch on.
Right.
And these things have a cyclical thing.
It recycles all through the dance. You do it over and over again. Pretty soon you learn how to do it pretty well. And also every dance is walked through at the beginning. So you get it. Before even the music starts, you get it.
And that is the one thing about these barn dances, that if anyone hasn't ever been, and maybe you feel like, I don't really know how to dance, they are so much about teaching people who've never danced before how to, within a few minutes, you're doing the basic steps and you're dancing and everyone is having a great time.
Right.
And it's such a forgiving, fun atmosphere.
Right, and there's no fun, or there's no fun steps.
There's no fun there.
There's no tricky steps or anything you have to learn, go to lessons or anything to learn. It just happens. Just kind of move to the beat of the music, and that's 90% of it.
Awesome.
And it's we call no-fault dancing.
No-fault dancing.
So,
for the 23rd season, the no-fault dancing of barn season, barn dance season is starting. And when's the first dance once again?
It's this Saturday, 7:30, at St. Anne's Parish Hall on 5th and Gold downtown, second floor. And,
there
live
you go.
Music and I think you'll have a great time.
Terrific. Fun had by all. Tom Paul, thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Okay.
And right, left, back.
There, talking about those flies. Last time we talked about flies in this program, it was with John Hudson of the Fish and Wildlife Service, who's with me right now. We were talking about March flies, that huge bloom of March flies that happened earlier in the summer. And John, let's start a new segment now. We're going to call it What's Bugging Juno?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds exciting to you as someone who's into bugs.
Thanks for inviting me in.
Sure. Tell me what this season. Now, this is a time of year when you don't really think as much about bugs. You feel like, okay, the first couple of cold days have hit. The bugs aren't as intense as they were. But the cycle of insects and bugs is happening year-round. And so what's some of the important things that are happening right now with bugs?
Yeah, that's a good point. Bugs don't just die and go away. There are different phases that are still out there alive, whether in the egg form or the nymph form. And as I look out your window, I see our deciduous trees are starting to turn color, and they're withdrawing all those chemicals and nutrients back into their stems and roots and stuff.
Dropping the
leaves.
But
they're dropping those leaves into the streams, and that's where our shredders get excited.
So tell me about that. Now, is that sort of a class of bugs that all work in this shredding industry, or is
exactly.
that
okay? Good point. It's not a certain insect, but there's a type of feeding strategy called shredding, and those insects take advantage of the leaves that fall into our streams every fall. But first, they have to be conditioned. So a leaf is not a very nutritious thing for an insect. There's a lot of lignin and other compounds that aren't very digestible. So first, those bacteria and fungi have to colonize it and condition that leaf and get it in a form that's more palatable.
Okay, so that's like sort of like think of it like cheese, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I'm thinking maybe a sandwich cookie where the inside's nice and soft. You know, you got that frosting, and maybe you're not interested in the outer cookie. But
okay,
so it's not the leaf they're after; it's those fungi and bacteria.
So typically, these are insects that are living in the streams typically, and then so a leaf falls in, they don't go and attack the leaf right away. They go after the ones that have kind of settled down to the bottom and are covered with goo and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. They actually don't really arrive on the scene until those leaves begin to fall. So they exist in the egg form for most of the summer, and then they hatch out and start feeding on fine particulate organic matter, FPOM. But when those leaves fall, they switch on over to the leaves that are covered with all that fungi and stuff, and that makes them a little more nutritious. And these are stoneflies we're talking about.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. What's the common name for some of these insects that do this? Stoneflies typically is the one you're talking about.
Stoneflies are very often shredders. Caddisflies are shredders as well. One of the more common stoneflies that people might want to look for, as those leaves start falling into the stream, they'll become waterlogged, and then they'll get stuck on rocks and logs and twigs and stuff, and they'll form leaf packs. Those are like the pages of a book, a whole bunch of leaves stacked together. If you just pick up one of those leaf packs, whether it's in Steep Creek or maybe Gold Creek, and start paging through those leaves, you'll see Zapata.
And what's that?
And Zapata is the genus of a forest fly, stonefly, and they're like little tanks. They're really robust, stout, strong little characters. They only get about 3-4 millimeters long, and their job is to go around shredding leaves. And later on this fall, if you see a leaf in a stream that's skeletonized, everything's there.
I've seen that,
missing but the veins. That's what's happened.
Oh, okay.
The pot has come along and foraged on that bacteria, fungi, and most of the leaf material, but left behind that stout, sturdy lignin.
Yeah, right. And what feeds on these animals? What feeds on these stoneflies and these? I mean, is that what part of the food chain do they occupy there?
I'm glad you brought that up. So we've got these leaves from trees falling into the stream. They kind of turn into bacteria and fungi. They turn into stone flies. And then the next wave of consumers are fishes, for example. Maybe cutthroat trout or little coho salmon that will happily eat a stone fly or a caddisfly, build up their reserves so they're big enough to smolt and go out to the ocean and then return back. And when they spawn and die and get drug out of the stream by a bear, perhaps they fertilize a tree and the whole cycle returns.
Oh, I see.
Back
okay.
to square one.
Wow, interesting. So shredders, that's one of the... Now, are there other bugs that are out there right now operating and doing weird things that we don't know about?
Right, lots of weird stuff going on.
But that we depend on without knowing it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So things are shredding leaves right now. We got grazers out there. They're eating periphyton or the microscopic plants that grow in rocks. And that's what makes the stream very hard to cross.
Oh, okay.
The slippery rocks are covered with diatoms. Those diatoms are like grass in a field, and they get grazed by a variety of insects, just like cows graze grass in a field.
Right.
And they have special mouth parts that scrape up those nutrients, and they consume that periphyton.
Right. And what do you look for there? What kind of insect is it? A beetle kind of thing or all
mayfly,
kinds of stuff?
Mayflies. Yeah, oh, just pick up a large softball-sized rock, maybe in Gold Creek, and turn it over, and you'll see it covered with little mayflies grazing away.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And the mayflies are the ones that then bloom out, and but this is their nymph period?
Right. The nymph period is the aquatic form, and then they eventually, next spring, they'll mature enough to split open their back and crawl out as an adult with four wings and fly off and do their ephemeral life. The common name for mayflies, or the scientific name, is Ephemeroptera. They're very short-lived or ephemeral, so they only live a few hours to maybe 24 hours, mate, and then lay their eggs, and then the cycle continues.
So the fly form, just in that form where they're the fly, is only a few hour?
Right.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow. That's an amazing thing to think about. That this and that's the last few hours of that thing's life.
Yep.
Too.
Yep. It's just
that's it. Yeah.
Emerges and goes off and flies, does its thing. Where's a dragonfly? Maybe we can finish up talking about dragonflies.
Sure.
We've got September's here. Days are getting shorter. It's getting a little cooler, but we can still see some of our dragonflies that live in Juneau. We have 18 species. Some dragonflies that we're seeing right now, the big blue darners, live for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, really? So what do they do in the winter?
But not as an adult.
Oh,
so
I see.
They're in the nymph form in a stream or typically ponds and lakes, actually.
Right.
And they get quite large, up to 1.5 inches, and they can live that long, especially in unproductive habitats where it takes a while to grow big enough to make that transition to the adult.
But their glory days of flying, that's the final stage. That's the last stage. Is that true for all sort of flying insects?
Yep. They're not going to live forever. In the tropics, they might live quite longer than they do up here. But our dragonflies will succumb to the cooler weather. They'll do their mating thing, and then they'll die. And then hopefully the eggs that they lay will emerge or hatch next year and start that cycle again.
And dragonflies are, I know that they're so important because of their predation on mosquitoes especially, right? I mean, dragonflies are good.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. They eat a lot of mosquitoes and other things. And then even in the nymph form, they're eating mosquito larvae and things as large as fishes and tadpoles as well.
So. Really? They can grab a fish? Wow.
And I'm glad you mentioned the word grab. They have this amazing lower lip that I think they modeled the alien off of in the Alien series.
Okay.
It's articulated in a way that it can extend out and extend that insect's reach quite a distance. And these big jaws open up at the end and clamp down on their prey. So all operates on hydrostatic pressure. So they're amazing insects.
Wow. Yeah, that is incredible. And so at a microscopic level, they're ferocious and scary.
Yes. And these can get quite big. So
yeah. Not even microscopic.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, John, thanks so much for letting us know about what's bugging Juneau. Anything else we should know about this time of year in September that's happening in the bug world in Juneau?
Just be thankful that the no-see-ums, the mosquitoes, and the black flies are gone, and the only thing we'll be seeing are maybe some crane flies through the winter that somehow carry on through the winter.
Oh. So. Well, now, what does a crane fly look like?
A very gangly, long-legged fly, sometimes confused with the mosquito.
Okay.
And they have really, really disgusting larvae. They're big, thick, maggot-like things. They shred leaves, too. So.
All right. Well, it's a wonderful and horrible world there, the world of the insects. That's John Hudson. That's What's Bugging Juneau. We'll check in with you maybe next month and figure out what's going on into the winter months with insects.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. All
right.
Thanks,
Andy.
Thanks, John. Here's more cramps.
Classic dramas, a hit musical, a recent Broadway smash, and a world premiere. Perseverance Theater's 34th season, Oklahoma, Betrayal, Seminar, The Road Weeps, The Well Runs Dry, and Of Mice and Men. This season's plays take you on an amazing journey with stories of discovery, friendship, and love. Subscribe today for great savings, the best seats, and generous exchange privileges. For more information, visit perseverancetheater.org or call 463-TIXS.
The Juneau World Affairs Council presents photojournalist Skip Scheel Thursday, September 20th, 5 p.m. at K2. His topic, The Hydropolitics of Palestine and Israel, unpacks controversies and conflict over water allocation. This event made possible with support from Greens Creek, GCI, Kensington, and Sea Alaska. That's Thursday at 5 in the K2 TV studio. JWAC, bringing the world to Juneau.
Forecast from NOAA right now is, it's wholly inaccurate. Right now it's saying mostly cloudy skies. I don't know. Maybe it is somewhere in Juneau, but I'm looking outside, and it is absolutely beautiful, blue, clear skies out there. There's some patchy late-night fog being called for, and tomorrow's forecast is for partly cloudy skies with some patchy fog in the morning. Highs around 60 degrees. Partly cloudy skies for tomorrow night as well, and patchy fog. Then increasing clouds on Saturday with a slight chance of rain, and rain likely starting on Saturday night, Sunday through Sunday night, and then mostly cloudy skies on Monday with a chance of rain. So we've got a beautiful day ahead of us tomorrow, and it's already absolutely gorgeous out there today. Get outside right now. You can feel it. I think your throat's getting a little scratchy. I think maybe you need to knock off work a little early. But, yeah, enjoy the weather if you can get out there. We're going to be talking to Nancy DeCherney from the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council coming up next with Arts Up. She'll be talking about all the great stuff that's happening this weekend and in the coming week here in Juneau, including, of course, Writers in the Sky is going to be happening Monday night at the Juneau Douglas High School. The tickets are still available. You can go to jahc.org for tickets to that event. It's going to be great.
Support comes from listeners like you and from the Juneau Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juneau Artist Gallery is open year-round and daily during the summer, located downtown in the Senate Building.
This Saturday at 7 p.m. at the JDHS Auditorium, the JDHS Drama presents the Trash and Fashion Show. It's kind of like a small version of wearable arts. Both student and teacher designers have made and will be modeling original clothing, all made out of recyclable material. JDHS cheerleaders, JDU dancers, and Juneau jumpers, as well as others, will be performing too. And it's also going to be a bake sale. It's going to be a magical and fun evening. It's a fundraiser, and it's in support of the JDHS Scotland Fringe Festival Trip and a AYEA Environmental Club at JDHS. That's, again, the Saturday at 7 p.m. at JDHS Auditorium. It's the Trashin' Fashion Show. And just to let you know, a program note, Monday night's Focus on Community will feature Dr. Heidi Connell from the University of Alaska Southeast. She's new to Juneau, and she is an associate professor of management in the School of Management. Has an extensive background as a leadership coach and consultant in the lower 48. And on Monday night, she's going to share some thoughts, strategies, and techniques for improving written communication in the workplace. And she, this is all in hopes that other that'll help other leaders in all levels of organizations be effective in their efforts. It's a special focus of her segment on is on email communication. It's perils, pitfalls, and potential. We all know about the perils and pitfalls and potential of email. And that's going to be Focus on Community Monday night, 7 o'clock. That's right here, KTOO News 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. We got Nancy DeCherney coming up in just a couple minutes with Arts Up. We'll be right back with you with Arts Up with Nancy DeCherney. Oh, it's all happening here so fast. Nancy DiCerni was just stepping into the studio. Nancy, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, I was going to run out and play in the sun.
You were dawdling on your way, I know, sort of kicking stones outside. It's beautiful out. Well, thanks, though, for stopping in. Art's up. We got a lot going on this weekend once again.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, of course, the big concert on Monday night, the Riders in the Sky, is going to be really fun. All the buckaroos and buckarettes.
Polishing my cowboy boots and getting my cowboy hat.
My spurs are jingle, jangle, jingling.
Are they?
Yes,
are they?
They are. Absolutely, they are.
Work on that mustache, too.
Well, that'll never happen.
But, yeah, we want everybody to come out for that. Yeah. Okay, should we start with today?
Sure, start with today. What's happening today?
Of Mice and Men. We have actually at 7:30, there's an accounting and a CPA career information night out at UAS Egan Library. It's free.
Okay.
You've been thinking about that.
Very cool.
Mice and Men is running. I think it's a pay as you can tonight. I'm not positive of that, but give them a call. And they run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 7:30. Don't miss it.
Okay, yeah. I've heard wonderful things about this play,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it's very moving.
The book, of course, is amazing as well, but yes.
All right. Friday is International Day of Peace.
Okay, yes. And I know
a little moment of quietness here.
We should. peace and quiet. I'm all for peace and quiet. There's a wonderful thing going to be happening downtown by the Diamond Courthouse as a result of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, the dedication of the Bishop Michael H. Kenney Memorial Peace Park. There'll be a sculpture being installed, and you're invited to come down. It's at 5 o'clock. That's on 3rd and Seward Street. Beautiful little piece of
work. Now, I think, actually, it's not the sculpture that's being installed. There's a nameplate that's being installed, and this is the start of the fundraising
that has to get going
towards the sculpture, yes.
And you can make contributions to that on our website, in fact, so I should know these things.
Yeah, and they're going to do the dedication, and then they've got the back room at the Silver Bow that you can walk down and have some food.
I believe the artist is here, so you can talk and get a good view of what's happening. Also, at 5 o'clock, Orca is having a youth open house at Twin Lakes. They got kayak rides and games and all sorts of stuff going on. It's free. 5 o'clock, head on out to Twin Lakes. It's like tonight. Hey,
yeah,
what a beautiful day to be doing that.
Beautiful.
All weekend, there's robotics training. We do robotics. It's somebody from the Cooperative Extension in Montana is coming. The UAF Cooperative Extension Service is offering this. It's at the Bill Ray Center Friday and Saturday. It's all kinds of cool.
That's
Mindstorm, NXT. I mean, how much fun is this?
Yeah. Whatever you just said. Mindstorm. Okay.
Yes, okay then. and learn to skate. It's time to get ready at the Juno Skating Club. Has on Friday night, 6:30 and 9, there's classes for youth and adults. And then on Saturday, they have classes for tots.
And this is something every self-respecting Alaskan should know how to skate.
You think so?
I mean, come on.
I'm not self-respecting.
You need to know how to. You don't know how to ice skate?
No.
You
when
need
I was
to
growing
learn
up,
how to ice skate.
No, we had no ice skate.
Well, we have this rink here now. It's beautiful
facility.
Yes, and we want
another rink.
We want to get another rink. Okay. The rink that's being used now is jam-packed all the time.
Yeah, you have to skate at 3 in the morning.
Well, this is a call to arms to you, Nancy DiCerni. I'm calling you out. You have to learn to skate this year.
Okay, then. Okay. Now, in late-breaking news, the Poetry Slam, which was scheduled for the Silver Bow, is actually at Zach Gordon at 6:30 on Friday night. So don't go to Silver Bow. Go to Zach Gordon and sign up for that. There's a From Grief to Hope, Death in Our Community, a lecture by Dr. Lonnie Leary. That is the offered by the Foundation for the End of Life at Centennial Hall at 7 p.m. on Friday. At 7 p.m. on Friday evening at Egan, monitoring the Mendenhall outburst flood. Of course, Dan Hobson's up at the Baranoff. And there is at 9 o'clock, all kinds of crazy things going on at the Alaskan Hotel.
Now, isn't Skip Scheel, is he also doing a talk on Friday night as well? I know he's doing one tonight, but I think that he might also be doing one tomorrow night. He does the photography in Palestine and Israel, focusing especially on water.
Okay.
It's very interesting. Anyway, that's another thing to look for.
We better get that on the calendar because we don't have it. Okay. Now, Saturday morning at 8:30, you can learn how to be a teen tutor for the school district. 523-1737 for more information. And as I said, Mindstorms, robotics all day long. The Saturday thing over at the Juneau Economic Development Council at 9:30. There's free health screening and fall prevention stuff out at the Nugget Mall from 10 to 1:30. That we've got the Learn to Skate. We have Alaska Smart Educator Workshops at the UAS Tech Center at 3 o'clock. These are free. The Trash and Fashion Show.
Yes, it's going to be fun. Trash and Fashion.
Yes, the Trash and Fashion JDHS Drama Department at the JDH High School Auditorium. Tickets are $5 in advance. There are more at the door, so get your tickets in advance. You can get them at the Hearthside, at the Jack, online, whatever. It's always fun. These kids are doing a great job.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe this year they have called in some of the Wearable Art past shows. Like, I think Milkmaid is going to be there. So,
So Milkmaid was wonderful. I loved that dress.
Wasn't it beautiful?
Yeah, I thought that was a wonderful dress.
It fits with the Trash and Fashion thing.
Totally,
so,
yes.
Yeah, try to go see that. The first barn dance of the season with Jerry Fiscus and friends and the Bevels will be at St. Anne's Parish
Hall.
Tom
Paul was just in here talking about
super
it.
Super duper.
It's the 23rd season.
Oh, my gosh.
Of barn dancing. Yes, incredible.
Well, goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Okay. On Sunday, out at the Moose Lodge, they're having a frugal fashion show in high tea. It's $15. It benefits Helping Hands, and all the fashions have to have been put together for less than $25. So this is great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. It's out at
that is a challenge.
Out at the Moose Lodge, you can get tickets out there. And, of course, Monday, as you mentioned, Jayhaw. It's Cowboy
Yeehaw!
Way. We're going to have us fun. Yeah.
Ranger Doug yodeled on the air yesterday.
Did he?
Yes, he just, out of nowhere, he said, and I might even yodel. And then he just did
Woo!
That sound. Where does that come
from? I don't know.
He just
that
went and did it. It was so exciting.
I'm
really looking forward to it. I think it'll be such a fun
concert.
And
they are funny.
Yeah,
I mean, the
yeah.
music is great. It's old cowboy Gene Autry, Roy Rogers, and it is funny.
And so much fun for the whole family, for
it's,
kids
yep,
and everything.
Kids
but
and
for,
everybody.
For adults as well. And yeah, it's going to be a great time.
So, and then on, let's see, Tuesday, the Marie Drake Planetarium is having a thing on Aries, Mars, and the three robotic rovers. So if you're interested in the space program, this is a good idea.
I'm an Aries.
Wednesday.
Maybe I should go.
Maybe you should go. Are you a robot too?
I'm not. Well, I've been accused.
Okay, then.
My robotic personality, yes.
Let's not go there. Okay, Wednesday, you want to talk about what's happening at 7 p.m.? It's a KRNN Spotlight.
Yeah, the Spotlight, it's a spotlight on singer-songwriters. It's going to be hosted by Angelina, and it has Irene Muller, and do you have the names?
Dean
of the
other? Frank, Dean Liz Frank. Snyder, and Brooke Morgan.
There you go, and just all really wonderful artists in their own right, all with very divergent types of styles, so a really fun evening. And those things are great because it gives you an opportunity to outside of a bar atmosphere, actually listen to a singer-songwriter. And then there's, of course, a question and answer a portion of it as well. So you get to hear a little bit about people's inspiration and what makes them tick.
I did notice that there will be beer and wine.
Yes, and there's always
so be
beer and there's beer and wine there as well, but it's an all ages event, so you can we have it set up so there's two different doors, so if you're under 21
them
you
and us.
Sit
okay.
up in another section. That's right.
Thursday is a parent conference day, so there's no school that day.
Okay.
And it is the beginning of the Great Pumpkin Festival. At 5:30 go over to Sandy Beach and get ready to chunk your pumpkins.
So to speak.
No, that's what they're going to
no,
be doing
actually,
over there.
Actually, really.
They're going to have catapults. If you are a sort of person that makes trebuchets or other things of that nature, go on over there with a pumpkin and get ready to launch.
That is so exciting. I mean, that is exciting that we're going to be catapulting pumpkins.
I guess so.
Has this happened before?
I think they did it last year. Last year was the first year of the Great Pumpkin Festival, and they tried to do it in the Jack, but there just wasn't enough. You couldn't get enough.
Right.
You know, like, whoa. So,
yeah, you can't do it indoors.
Well, exactly.
No.
So,
yeah. No, that's a bad idea.
Outdoors and let her rip.
Yeah, catapult is an outdoor toy.
Maybe the robotics people should put
Absolutely.
Something together here.
Yeah.
So it's a fun week that we have ahead, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody on Monday.
Terrific. Nancy DeCherney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Thanks so much for coming in. That's Arts Up. Well, thanks so much for joining me for a Juno Afternoon this afternoon. I want to thank all my guests for coming in. The cavalcade of guests that came in, really fun to talk to everyone, including Colette Costa, who came by. Of course, Dave Donaldson, who's retired from APRN today. We heard from Wayne White, of course, who's the subject of that Beauty is Embarrassing film that he is going to call in for a Skype video conference on Tuesday at Nickelodeon Theater. It's going to be great. Barn Dance with Tom Paul. Thanks, Tom, for coming in. John Hudson from the Fish and Wildlife Service with What's Bugging Juno. And, of course, Nancy DeCherney. Thank you, Nancy, with Arts Up. That's it for a Juno Afternoon. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juno and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators, the Valley and Auk Bay area. Tune in to K276 AF 103.1 in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872. And KXLL can be found at 873. We're also online at www.ktoo.org.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama is taking aim at Muslim extremists, whom he says used an anti-Islamic video shown on the internet.